Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strom and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's the DVS and the M. Scott Jones.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday. It is July 22nd. Yeah, I know, I'm loud. I can't help it.
It's the 23rd, actually.
23rd. No, for real. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strahn, a.k.a. the Devious One, and with me as always is the lovely, loquacious, lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones!
Wow.
But I am really experiencing, like, numeric dyslexia. Like,
lately?
Recently. Yeah.
Okay.
Recently. So I really want to, like, take a test. Or, like, do something. To, like, make that known and happen.
Oh,
but
David.
It's really something that
no,
is
sweetie,
going on.
Sweetie,
right now.
Really, I mean, you don't have to take a test. We've known that something was wrong for a while now. And, you know, recognizing that there's a problem is the first step. It really is.
See how they do me,
and
Yolanda?
And I'm
you
here.
See how they do me?
I'm like, here for you.
You see?
I'm here for you. I'm, you know, I got you. That's
absolute
all I'm saying.
Disrespect I go
I got
through
you.
Every weekend. Yo.
You open that door and you don't expect me to walk through. Come on. Come on.
I set him up.
That was like,
she knocks him down.
That was like a dream. I couldn't like
do.
Not
this
do that.
This is a teamwork. This is a teamwork that happens.
Oh my goodness. It's Sunday.
Hello, Charlottesville.
It's freaking early.
It's too early. It's early for Sunday.
No, you know what? It's early because karaoke went until like 1 a.m.
oh.
last night. So it's early.
Yeah. Yeah, it's early. Now, I didn't go to sleep until 3, so yeah, it's definitely...
Right? I'm right there with you. I've decided... You're having numeric problems. I'm having, like, sleep problems.
I'm having those, too.
So, I've just decided I'm just not going to sleep, like, ever again.
There's
like,
no
that's what is happening.
And when I sleep, I have nightmares and stress dreams, and
right?
I don't want to go to sleep after that.
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been visiting... Yeah. People like the city council and the human rights commission.
I was lucky.
Other affinity groups that just say, I hear you. And
I hear you. And I want you to go away now.
Good luck on that whole white nationalist visit in August 12th.
Right.
Thoughts and prayers.
No,
National Black Lives Matter chapters, no answer, no reply on email.
I was very lucky Friday night that. I was not at home, and so I was at a friend's house. And for some reason, at this particular friend's house, I sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like I don't know if it's like the relationship or
just
there or there's like, you know, a new place. So
do you poop there too? Home is where you poop comfortably.
Yeah.
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 That's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
Yeah.
Right. That's a level of trust
That's major.
Yeah.
That's real major.
That's extra.
That's an extra step in a relationship.
Okay. Wow. It is true. But
you know, I was...
speaking of comfort.
Speaking of comfort.
And home.
And home.
And family.
And family. I have been working hard as a member of Black Lives Matter, Leslie, as well, to make sure that our home and our families are taken care of. And like I said, just met with Thoughts and Prayers, and like, we hear you, and we support you, but we ain't gonna do shit. So, I'm just saying, yeah, it's what it is.
I know.
I'm waiting on that.
Okay.
I'm waiting
right.
on that. I'm
all
waiting
right.
on that call.
FCC
I'm really
coming.
Aiming for it.
FCC is coming for David.
There's
going to be a truck.
It's another step in my radio. Yeah, I was going to say, there's going to be a truck.
There's going to be a truck that like drives
there's
up.
There's going to be a phone call. There's going to be a paddy wagon.
I can see it now. No, Clinton and I are going to walk out at the end of the show, and they'll be like, no, not you. That one. We want that one.
Are you David Strong? That depends on who's asking. No, but what I want to say is that when people ask for help, we should not give mental and moral support. We should give help. a frontman of an incredibly awesome band named Linkin Park took his life.
Yeah.
Recently, from hanging, the same way Chris Cornell of Soundgarden took his life from hanging because he felt like he didn't have help.
Yeah.
We have people who make millions of dollars and are loved and adored by millions of people and feel
alone.
Helpless and alone and in their state of space. So if people are asking for help, help them out. Listen. Be concerned. Ask questions. And that's all I got to say for my banner.
All right.
That's all
Thank
I got.
Thank you, David. That was a very lovely thought.
Yeah. And poop where you feel comfortable, I think, is more important in life. If you really got to go, don't hold it in.
Oh, my.
That makes everybody worse off. Because you know the gas that comes from that is just equally as lethal.
It's horrible.
You know, so just handle
it's horrible.
The business. Do what you got to do.
Bodily functions here on Homegrown.
Bodily functions and taking care of people.
Clinton's face right now is just...
Aren't you happy?
Clinton's face right now is like...
So our first guest...
Yes. David...
We have an interview suppository.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe a booty cushion in between.
Oh, but, oh wow.
Just trying to see...
David!
Metaphors. No, see, I talk like
that
this.
That metaphor doesn't need to be extended.
No, I talk like this because
David.
I feel like Yolanda is family. I feel like I
she
know her.
She is family.
I feel close to her.
I don't know if she wants to be that close to you, David.
I know, right? Not right now.
Like,
right
she
now.
Got, like,
sure.
You know.
I saw the share scoop back a little.
She's got a husband and, you know, beautiful children. I don't think she needs to be closer to you.
I think I'm going
to
scoot away real quick. And you drinking coffee, too? Lord Jesus. It got cream in it, too? I got to go. But...
So Yolanda.
Introduce the first guest.
Yolanda Jones is in the house.
So
she is a lovely black artist.
And she had no idea this was going to be this crazy.
She wasn't ready for this. She didn't know. I could have given a disclaimer.
But you know what? It's okay.
I've got four little people.
Right.
You know?
You've experienced
time.
So much.
Oh my God. So much poop in your life.
So much.
Jesus.
In abundance. Mm-hmm.
So, Yolanda, you have a exhibit currently running called Private Spaces.
Now through October 15th at the Jefferson School.
14th.
14th. See? Number of dyslexia. At the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center.
Yes.
I was floored by your exhibit. I mean, it's so it's funny and sweet and so real all at the same time.
Wow! Thank you for those words.
I just because and hello, your children are adorable.
Thank you.
Oh my God!
I
was actually there while Andrea was putting up the show. Mm-hmm. And she's like, where do you think this one should go? And she hands me the photo where it's one of your twins in the little bow tie. And I was like, oh my God. I
he
was like,
character.
I'm getting a little teary right now. Look at him.
There is an incredible amount of intimacy and genuine curiosity of your own family and how you portray them in these portraits. Talk about that. Talk about, because it seems like you kind of want to give an homage or like, you know, or certain like, you know, showing of affection towards your family for the gift that they've given you.
Absolutely.
In these works of art. So talk about that.
Yes,
further.
I definitely think that's a part of it. I want my family to have, like when my children are older, I do want them to be able to look back and have these images, and I want them to be, I never have been a fan of like the cheesy, and I don't want to say that because I don't want to like badmouth.
No, cheesy.
Photography
style. I've seen those Kmart studio portraits.
I wasn't going to name
them. Laying on the fence, like, yeah.
Right.
No, I wanted them to have like, you know, moments. I wanted them to have, you know, when we were kids, this is what it was like, sort of thing. And I don't know, like, I feel so present just in my own life. One of my practices mindfulness practice is to just be, you know, really present in the now. And sometimes it is so powerful that I want to make a photo of it because I have this, you know, very deep love for images and for the art of photography. So those two come together.
Right on.
You know, and it ends up being, okay, I'm grabbing my phone as I'm like running around changing diapers or cleaning the house or cooking
food. Yeah, so all of those photos you took on a cell phone.
Right, all of them, every one of them but one, yes.
Which cell phone? Yeah.
Those were mostly taken with my iPhone 5C.
Okay.
And I just
shout out to Apple.
Just got my 7, which is also still not, you know, it's all cracked up and crazy looking.
Because you got 4 children.
Right.
That's what happens.
You know, and so it's not like the latest technology is very low tech compared to what I do in my professional work because I'm usually carrying around like a big body camera with lots of lenses, lots of different types of lenses, and, you know, producing very high quality, high resolution, sharp.
Do you want to talk about those instruments that you use for the photographer people that are listening out here?
Sure, I can. So my very first DSLR was a D40, a Nikon D40. So I speak Nikon. I know in the photography world, there's Nikon and there's Canon and there's, you know, all of these other brands and lines. My first DSLR was a gift from my spouse, and it was a Nikon D40 with like the factory default lens on it. And I used to use that around the house. At that time, I had a almost one year old. My first shot was almost one, and I just practiced with that default camera, like with making art with her. And then I just became more and more curious about the technology. So I went to visit a local camera shop and they talked to me about, lenses and about, you know, what each one might be used for. They kind of gave me like a primer. And then I just went with that and started doing research on my own. And beyond that, I would just go and sit in the aisles of bookstores or I would sit at people's homes. And I think I've really done that all my life, just being with images. So it's like the soul of the work is what I fell in love with and sort of moved in before I learned the technical stuff.
Yeah.
And then I remember when I joined a meetup group, one of the photographers, one of the administrators, because I asked her, like, what is the best lens for this? What do you think is the best for this, 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 and this? And one of the most important things, and this has stuck with me, I mean, to this very day, like, it is not the equipment as much as it is the person who's making the art. The
eyeball.
It's right? Your eye. Yeah.
So I heard her say that. Her name is Gina. Gina, if you're out there listening. And I've been, that was like 9-10 years ago. And since then, I've put less pressure on myself to spend because I didn't have a lot of money. Like I was brand new family.
Yeah, right.
Before, like how in the world am I going to pay for these lenses? I couldn't do it.
Art.
Right. So
art
I just had
money.
To use what was in my hands.
So how did the idea for this particular, for private spaces come?
So Andrea, was following me on social media and Andrea Douglas.
Andrea Douglas.
She is the
doctor.
Doctor.
Put that doctor on her name now. Doctor Andrea Douglas.
Yes. She is the director of the Jefferson School. Heritage Cultural Arts Center, all of that. And so she was following me on social media. And I do most of my social media sort of like collecting of things, photos and words on Instagram, which is a platform that is based on photos, right?
Right.
And then I cross share that onto Facebook. So she's following me on Facebook, I think, and has like been watching my photos apparently for all this time and approached me and said, you know, I think that these, you know, I think you need to share. Like, I want to provide a platform for you to put these images on a wall and have people come and be with them. And I want to help you do that. And so literally that's how it happened. And so she invited me to share my many, many images with her. And we had a few conversations and came up with some criteria. And I went through thousands down to hundreds of images with these criteria and curated out 13 of them that tell a common story.
So is this your first exhibit?
Yeah, this is my first exhibit.
Okay, so talk about that, because you said, no, not nervous at all.
So well, I know, I mean, you spend so much time, you know, taking these photos and all of them are children, you know, all of them are your babies. Like, how do you call down out of thousands? How do you call down to 13?
I mean, it was really hard
letting them be up for criticism.
This is right. Oh God, it's I still feel nervous, I think. I mean, I definitely felt nervous leading up to that day because, you know, it's my first show. I didn't, it just kind of, it was almost like the universe brought the opportunity to me. I wasn't seeking it. And, you know, I have this person who's like, you need to share this. And look here, not only do you need to share it, but look, here's the platform. Mm-hmm. This is the space. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help you. Let's get it done. And so, yeah, it was really nerve wracking to anytime you share anything that you bring birth out from yourself mm-hmm. with for, you know, for public consumption, that's nerve wracking. Mm-hmm. So, and also it's nerve wracking because I do have another completely different presentation with my professional images. Mm. So I'm known kind of one way. Like if you look at my professional Instagram feed versus my personal Instagram feed, you'll see very sharp. I mean, I think, you know, you'll see the high resolution images right. that are captured with the DSLR versus the images that are taken with my iPhone, you know, every single day. Mm-hmm. And there are two different kinds of image, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you go into private spaces, you'll notice the images are small. They're not like, you right. know, very big. Mm-hmm. Some of them you have to get, you're going to get into them and mm-hmm. have to look and see what's going on in the image. But the point of that is, you know, to bring out the story of content
yeah.
versus how it was made.
Yeah, because I was figuring that you use the iPhone to capture a certain sense of authenticity. You know, right. you can't be in the hallway with your DSLR
oh, no.
looking at your kids. With
doesn't
the
work. Not in my life. I have four kids and I right? homeschool, so yeah. I don't have the freedom.
Do you have any hams? Do you have any kids that are like hams and just like look at the camera like this? Because all my nephews and nieces
no,
are.
No, I don't. My okay. kids are, they are not adverse to the camera because I think it has become so much a part of their lives.
Absolutely.
And then they also.
Now they see his mama with the camera.
Exactly. And they love taking photos as well. Like now they, you know, they have these iPad minis and mm-hmm. so they're taking the photos.
Oh, wow.
The oldest ones are. And then the little ones will too when they, you know, are fiddling with things and getting into stuff. But, but I don't know yes. that I ever had any that were very just like, oh yeah, take my picture, like make it like mm-hmm. none of them are like that. It was, and if you see the images, no one's looking at the camera in
yeah.
any of the images. So I don't ask them to pose. Mm-hmm. I just kind of want to capture the life as it's happening.
Nice, nice. We're going to talk more about that. We're talking with Yolanda Jones, or in her first and very first exhibit,
yes.
Private Spaces, that she's not nervous about at all. we'll be back. This is Homegrown. Drop! It is 18 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. I'm David, that's Leslie. We're talking with Yolanda Jones, photographer,
hi.
Running her first exhibit, Private Spaces, currently running now through October 14th at Jefferson School African-American.
He got it right.
Heritage Center. All I have to do is actually, like, read this shit.
Read it, yeah.
And not just assume that
because it is in front of you.
Yeah, doing it. All right.
So you mentioned before the break that no one is actually looking at the camera.
Right.
Is there? I'm trying to remember. There's one shot that your husband's in.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at the camera, but your kids aren't. Is that what? Or it's like a profile view or something like that? Mm-hmm. I remember.
Remember what's happening in the picture?
He's
it looked like we were about to.
Like we
about to go out to the beach or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. It was like gathering
like
to go somewhere,
like
and they're like
lip.
Right at
yeah,
his
yeah.
feet. Yeah, but that mm-hmm. really, that image really struck me because you don't normally see positive views of Black fatherhood.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, you don't normally see photos or representations of Black men caring for children.
Right.
And it looked like, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I mean, and it looked like that you specifically made that choice to put him and your children in several pieces of the exhibit.
Yeah.
That's, you want to talk about
yeah,
that?
Sure. So that is my family's life. We, he is present. He's an awesome dad. And
it sounds like you guys are an awesome family. It looks like you guys are an awesome
well,
family.
Well, no, we are not without our struggles now. Don't like. I have
I'm not saying y'all the Cosbys. I'm just saying.
No, well, no. I mean, I just want to, you know, keep it all the way real. We are definitely not the perfect family by any means. And even if there are issues between he and I. You know, he is a very present father, very active dad. And over the course of the 12 years that we've been together as a unit, it's been that way. So when you see these are like, this is what is actually happening. I'm not, you know, contriving this at all.
Right.
He's, you know, this one image of him feeding our oldest twin. I went into the bedroom, you know, very early in the morning, and I found him there asleep, and the baby was there, like, with a bottle, and he's like, because it's exhausting.
Mm, yes,
it is. Twin toddlers, or not, they were infants at the time, and so he had taken the night shift, or the early morning shift, and yeah, so he's that kind of dad, for sure. I mean, that's not fake. So.
That's very nice. Yeah. That's very nice to see.
So can I throw in a question?
Sure.
So before the interview, we were talking briefly about it. Can you talk about some of the reaction and even some of the blowback you've had from the subject matter, from using your family as your subject matter?
Absolutely. So I don't know if I've experienced blowback yet. I don't know. The story's not over yet. But I've definitely had questions about consent, questions about, you know, what my children's thoughts are about seeing themselves in images in a public way. And I think that absolutely the goal is to protect your children at all costs. Fierce mama bear comes up when I'm just like, if anybody is looking sideways at my kids. So that's definitely there. And my oldest two children especially are of the age where we can sit down and have conversations, and we have, about, you know, how do you feel about this is the big wide world web, right? And these are some of the dangerous things that can happen. This is some of the scary stuff that's out there. What are your thoughts about people seeing images of you that look like this and this and this? And we sit down and have very honest conversation about it. And as the person who's sharing the images, I try to be very mindful of the fact that I'm protecting my children's faces, their bodies. Like, it's not, you know, I try not to have a population or not to populate the internet with lots of photos of my kids and compromising or embarrassing situations.
Absolutely.
No, those are for when they start dating.
Exactly.
And do you ever give anybody who might give you, like, somewhat blowback or criticism like that, is like, at the end of the day, did my kids don't, you know, for real?
Because I mean, it's like, and that's real. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think I pick my battles, and that's in life at all.
Right on.
I try to offer what I can offer to the conversation. And if a person wants to engage in a thoughtful conversation and they're open to listening, I can sense that versus when a person is just wanting to be belligerent. And, I don't have a lot of space in my life for negativity. So I just don't engage. And my art is my art. I am working as hard as I can to be diligent over it and steward over my children's privacy and, their own separate identity. And that's the best that I can do.
Yeah. And all art is going to be subject to some type of negative criticism.
Right.
From
Absolutely.
Somebody that finds offense in some way, shape, or form. So
yeah,
just got to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
So, we were talking earlier, and you said that you wanted to, the part of the reason for taking these photos was to create a record of their childhood. So how long are you going to make the record? Like, are you going to go all the way to like high school?
Linklater's boyhood? Like,
I don't have a date or an age in my head where I imagine myself falling out of love with photography.
Right.
Or my kids.
Taking pictures of your kids.
You know?
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and again, my kids ended up being, and my family ended up being the subject matter in large part because I have been a stay-at-home working mom.
Right.
You know, so that this is my context, right? This is where I'm living.
This is
where
how
I'm
you,
working.
The
this
lens
where
from
I am,
which you see the world.
Right?
Yeah.
This is where
I
am. I'm, you know, I am definitely out in the public sphere, but I also am home with them. So
I want to take a little left turn for a little bit.
Sure.
I know I have a personal issue with photography because I don't like, because it captures memories, being them both good and bad, and down the line it could lead to like a good memory or a bad memory. Do you know what I'm saying? Like people that you've had
like
relationships with and
triggers.
Lost. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So talk about that. Is there any photography that, or any photos that you've taken that you just can't look at anymore? Or
oh, absolutely.
Just like,
yes, absolutely. Images that I've taken, images that I possess that other people have taken. Absolutely. I have in this very moment, there is an album of images that I cannot look at right now at this stage in my life. So yes, I absolutely understand that. Absolutely.
And what's that like, knowing the possession of that, I guess for lack of a better word, power and, ability to, you know, capture that time frame and be able to, like, put a stamp on it. Like, talk about that responsibility as an artist.
It's so complicated because there's only so much management of that you can do, right?
And so much control that you can't have of it.
You cannot have control over that. So I remember when I was in doula training and we were talking about birth images and what happens if there is, you know, a stillborn and there's photography, you know, do you present those images to the mom right away? Do you throw those images away if the mom says, I never want to see them? Or do you just keep them for a little bit of time and hold space? Don't let the mom see. You just file them away and maybe, you know, after that individual has gone through their process, they may want them, they may want those images. Mm-hmm. So just having an awareness of the passage of time and how seasons change and, you know, that album that's in my drawer, I may want to pull that out in a year or two. But as of right now, my place in time, my being is not, I don't want to see it. I'm not strong enough right now. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be strong enough later.
Right on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all have those.
Yeah.
I have a whole box of images that I haven't been able to go through in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to throw them away. Like, that's because it's still part of my life.
Exactly. Erasing it's still, it is making it feel, it's making it... Mm-hmm. It's like you have to, it's not all happy. Like it's not, life is not this long string of things that are good and pleasant.
Yeah, and to devalue the bad stuff,
takes away the texture and the, you know, the depth and the breadth and the facets that make our lives the mosaics that they are.
I am so sorry that we can't talk further.
But you just need to come back, Yolanda.
I just want to give you a shout out, Yolanda, because just hearing about your story, like not in the interview, like just hearing about all of the birth that you give in, 9-year-old, 7-year-old, 4-year-old twins, Papa holding it down with you. You were Black Girl Magic personified.
Yes, and thank you.
just looking at you, you were power and beauty and personified, and I just give you the ultimate respect.
Thank you.
I'm
going to
check out the exhibit, and I'm going to give you mad hugs after that.
Thank you.
It's going to be beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is Yolanda Jones, Private Spaces, the first and not the last exhibit.
Oh, no, not the last.
Currently running through October 14th at Jefferson School of American Heritage Center. Thank you, Andrea Douglas, for making this happen. And thank you, Yolanda Jones, for being a guest on the show. And
peace,
hopefully
y'all.
It will not be the last.
Oh, I hope not. I hope you have me back. Take care. Thank you.
All right. And
What's going on?
And...
He always forgets what's going on.
Here are some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running now through November 26th is the American Shakespeare Center Summer / Fall season featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, Henry VI, Part 3 by Shakespeare, and the modern musical Peter and the Starcatcher, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. And now through July 29th is 5 actors play 40 characters, holy crap, and Ken Ludwig's Baskerville. A Sherlock Holmes mystery in UVA's Ruth Kaplan Theater in their Heritage Summer Theater Festival. July 27th through August 2nd is Calendar Girls at Oak Grove Theater in Verona. It's outdoors. Bring some wine. It's going to be dope. July 27th, students are invited to a dress rehearsal of Charlottesville's opera's production of Oklahoma. July 28th through August 4th, Stephen Sondheim's Early Gem Company plays in UVA's Culber Theater as a part of Heritage Summer Theater Festival. I haven't heard of Company. That's a Sondheim one that I have. I guess it's like one of his demo tapes.
Because
it's an early jam. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it could have been like early in his career. July 28th through August 13th, The Addams Family. Da-da-da-da. A new musical at Four County Players. And July 29th through August 5th is Oklahoma by the Charlottesville Opera and the Charlottesville Ballet at the Paramount Theater. And now for your music options this week.
Noon today, Ken Nelson and the Jazz Rascals play the Cajun Jazz Brunch at Fellini's. This afternoon, Mojo Sweet Potato Pie at Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m. Tomorrow, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. July 25th, Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's. Charlottesville's Goth Night, oh my God, becomes Gotham Night, a Batman-themed dance party. Come dressed as your favorite version of the Caped Crusader to memorialize the passing of Adam West. July 26th, Phil West at Heritage on Main, Bill Sanderson and friends at Dirty Nelly's. Local Produce playing rock covers at Rapture. July 27th, the Michael Ellswick Gathering, and then Tyler Dick plays at Fellini's. Coda and Marie from Chamomile and Whiskey play some raucous roots-flavored music at Dirty Nelly's. I love that, raucous. What, he's putting in the SAT words today. House and Land with former homegrown guest Diane Cluck at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. Curtain Call Hip Hop Showcase. Ooh, Blackout Edition featuring Quinn Books, Wazzy, Max O'Rock, Grant, Aid and Tida, Medi, Flight, Lost and Found, Ace Haven. Oh my God, there's so many. Hosted by Remy St. Clair at the Ante Room. July 28th, Skip Haga on piano at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Matt Johnson gives you R&B, soul, pop, and rock in the styles of John Mayer and Michael Jackson at the Parade of Frambury. Yeah, that's an interesting mix.
No, John Mayer does a good cover of Human Nature.
He does, but that's about it. I don't. Okay, well, anyway, Mike and Cindy from House Rockers Band, along with Cool Cats, Pat Burns, to eclectic acoustic covers at Glass House Winery. The Ragnarockers at Wildwood Brewing Company.
Ragnarockers.
Every Monday, Seafoot Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Raynaud Farm Brewery. Every Wednesday, Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. And the Mike Roseski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And every Thursday, John Durf at Miller's. Woo! Oh my God.
All right. All right, drop.
This is local author Adriana Anders, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art, on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
All right, it is 33 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive choice and the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Your host is Rick Moore. His guest is Alexandra Medor. Rhymes with better. Assistant Commonwealth Attorney.
You weren't supposed to read that part.
I am the Ron Burgundy of Homegrown Radio. Talking about sexual assault and child trafficking. So that should be an interesting, enlightening show. All right. So with us now is Ballman Abbott and Mary Gordon Hall. They run the Concert for the Songmaker series. They're running it now. I've made that stamp. I put the stamp on it.
He has changed it.
I changed it. Is that okay? I have that power. July 28th, it's going down at Seville Coffee. How you guys doing?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
I'm well. So I've heard about the Seville Coffee Songmaker Series for a long time. It's actually been on our wall for a good amount of time. Talk about that to the layman.
It's actually started by John Hill, who does a radio show here.
Okay.
And me. We began it with several volunteer friends, and so we have there about every month, and we always feature songwriters. Some of the songwriters are local, like Bauman, and Bauman and I are local, and we usually have a local opener, but the headliner is often a national touring artist.
Oh,
yeah.
And how long has this been going on?
I'm gonna guess we've had about 6 or 7 shows. Now, we used to do something called Acoustic Muse. That was a long time ago. So that was a decade ago or more. But I moved away from Charlottesville for about 4 years, came back.
And had to.
Once I got back here, John and I started this up again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. So.
I say we get to the music.
I say we just get to the music.
Yeah.
I was hearing the wonderfulness in the background, so I just want to hear it in the front ground. What song are you doing?
Okay, I'm going to play a song called Fine Start of the Day.
Okay.
And we were just having a discussion about seasons, how nice it is to live in an area where there are seasons. You know, even though it's hot as whatever right now, but it's still...
No matter how bonkers those seasons are,
seasons. This is Fine Start of the Day. It was written in Batesville at a beautiful home where I was living temporarily. While my house is getting worked on. And this has nothing to do with summer. It's between spring and winter.
Okay.
It's called Fine Start of the Day.
Gotcha.
Somebody's singing with you?
Yes, thank you. you'll hear Ballman Abbott on the guitar, too, and me on the guitar, and Emily Gary over here singing beautiful harmonies.
attention of my day has
melted away.
That served a purpose.
That's kind of my thing. All right, now two things. Ballman, I noticed that you play heavily with your pinky and you don't have that coke nail action that a lot of acoustic players have going on.
Which action?
You know that cocaine nail that there's the long pinky nail?
Oh, right.
What? It's true.
Oh, no, I don't.
Like you work for Studio 54? Right, no, there. But you just keep everything clipped and, you know, I was very impressed by that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Do whatever works.
And also, I want to extend a huge apology to the lovely Emily Gary, who's sitting over here and providing wonderful melodies, which is hard to do with hair of shimmering pewter. So, yeah, Emily, why don't you grab that mic and talk about... And talk about... when did you first get involved with Mary Gordon Hall and start doing this stuff?
Oh, wow. Okay, I got... The first time I sang with Mary Gordon Hall was in a...
A little closer.
Was in a parking lot outside of what is now the Mud House. It's had several different names over the years. This was about 2003. I was singing already with someone else, and Mary Gordon showed up right before the show.
She poached you.
And she threw in a third harmony, and it was beautiful. But we have sung together off and on for years.
Okay.
She's been on recordings of mine, and I've been on recordings of hers. So
dope.
That's awesome.
Dope. Beautiful stuff. Yeah.
So that song reminded me of Graham Nash's Our House.
Wow.
Because it seems like just this moment, catching this moment of time.
Oh yeah.
And I remember listening to, I mean, because I've grown up hearing Our House over and over and over again, and I always thought, you know, it's pleasant, but there's not really a lot going on. And then I heard this interview with Graham Nash where he was talking about what went into the song, I think it was Joni Mitchell at the time he was living, and they had just come back from the market, and it was just this moment where, everything's working now. This relationship is good.
Yeah.
It's a new relationship and things are working, and he just wanted to capture it. Can you talk about the role of because there's no tension in the song. It's not like we're waiting for something to happen.
No.
Can you talk about the role of tension in songwriting when you have it and when you don't have it?
I love that you said that, because that is exactly what my intention was when I wrote this song. I wanted to sit down and write about that moment I was experiencing. And it was just that. I was in this beautiful house. The seasons were changing. There was a fiddle on the radio. I was drinking coffee, you know. And I've always admired songs that are in the moment. And that was my first one, I think, that was exactly... I'm so glad you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in a house called Mountain View in Batesville. And it was a respite for me because my house was under construction. It was destroyed in a storm. Mm-hmm. And so my friend who has this beautiful home out there let me live in the house. And it's just breathtaking views. You see all the seasons. So it was changing from spring to from winter to spring. And thank you for noticing that, because that is exactly, it was in the moment. And
it seemed like that. It seemed like one of the songs that was written on the spot, and it didn't really take a lot of editing, like lyrically. And I think that's a lot where a lot of the most iconic songs in our generations have been written in the moment.
Yeah.
Not a lot of composition, just there, you know?
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, I was determined to pay attention to my surroundings and how they made me feel in that song. And so that's what that was. You know, the song was so that I could just capture the moment, you know, because it was a moment I felt like sharing with others. And,
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk more.
Okay.
Ballman Eric, Mary Gordon Hall, Emily Gary, if she chooses to talk. Talking about Songmaker Series. This is Homegrown. Drop! It is 46 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, we are Homegrown. You are listening to us. If you're just tuning in, you're just listening to us. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC. I've had a lot of coffee. The progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. This is Leslie. Clinton's on the back. Ballman Eric, Mary Gordon Hall, Emily Gary in the house. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Your host, Rick Moore, talking with Alexandra Metter.
assistant Commonwealth attorney at Augusta County talking about sexual assault and child trafficking. But we're talking about music, good music, acoustic music, easy, laid back, porch sitting, lemonade sipping music, like you do in this great state of VA.
I need some sipping whiskey.
You know, that's that little bit of Long Island iced tea. We can do all of that. So let's talk about songwriting, acoustic songwriting in general. There is a lack of
deceptively complex.
Or non-complex, for that example. I think that, you know, there's a lot of, like you said, easiness that just comes out, and you just want to portray a certain setting and a certain feeling, and have a certain amount of chords, and that's it. It's not Stairway to Heaven. There's no, like, you know, quick changes. There's no violin, orchestral, epic ending. It's not November Rain or anything. It's just what it is.
You're the one I like.
In a box.
You have to
and I appreciate that.
You have to ask them a question.
Yeah.
Ask them a question.
Well, I might be able to address that as a way of introducing this song.
See?
That I'm gonna play.
He got something.
Yeah. I think, you know, for songwriting, I think one of the things that we're going to do on Saturday night is we're going to cover some people that we've admired over the years.
Okay.
So I think, you know, you can learn a lot from listening to your favorite songwriters. And by way of introduction to the song that's coming up, we all know who Martin Offler is, you know, Dire Straits fame. But he's done a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of work since that band, you know, solo work. I'm sure you're familiar with it. This song, he does a lot of sort of historic songs. Like, he'll write about the Mason-Dixon, Sonny Liston, Ray Kroc, you know, and they're all sort of portrait songs and songs that sort of include history. And so the song that I want to play today is sort of inspired by that, and it's actually about a woman who was a family friend, and it was in my parents' generation. And I didn't really know until she passed away that she had actually been in the Women's Army Corps and had gone over to Paris as a young girl. And so that piqued my interest in finding out more about it. So I ended up writing this song about this good friend of mine, and tried, as Martin Offler does, to sort of give a feel for what it was like in that time and era.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just do it.
It's named for our family friend, Florrie. Lights, they shipped you out to the Women's Army Corps. So young and innocent with this ragged edge of war. Still you seem to be at home in this liberated town, decoding messages to help shut the Fuhrer down.
War is living hell, you too. There is a, well, you're out to make my run. My thoughts turn back to you. It's foggy on the runway. The sky above is blue. The sun is glowing like an ember, reflecting on the sand. And if I can outlast this war, I'd like to dance again for me.
Oh my God. And just when I talk about acoustic music has lack of complexity, he picks Mark Knopfler, one of the intricate guitarists and the most complex songwriters on the face of the planet.
Amazing.
Shut up, David. You know nothing about music. And if you want to get more educated about music and acoustic songwriting, please, please go see Valmon Arrett and Mary Gordon Hall and Emily Gary play lovely, lovely music at the Concert for the Songmaker series on July 28th. Sivo Coffee. More dates after that. Thank you so
thanks
much.
For having
thank
us.
You so much for having us.
This will not be the first time or the last time that you're on the show.
Yeah. Thank you.
This will be the first. But yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Stop talking, David.
David's having problems with words today.
It's going to be a long day. Yeah. It's going to be a long day.
Just
going to the rant?
It really is.
All right. And now, Leslie's weekly rant.
Why, thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Love is fleeting. Tomorrow ain't promised. We've all heard these sayings. And until we lose someone, we forget them. We go along in our daily lives, moving from the urgent to the important, and we forget to stay present. We forget to cherish the people that are beside us day in and day out. I'm not quite sure why, but we find it hard to say those few things every day to let people know how much we care, how much they are loved and appreciated. Our theater family lost someone a week ago today. He was a lovely soul. He was kind and caring. He was funny and talented. He was good people, as my Nana would say. I didn't know him as well as I wanted to, and I'm sad that now I won't get that chance. Winston Jerome Smith II will be missed by so many of us. And for those of us lucky enough to have been part of creating art with you, we are better for it. So we must learn the lesson that his passing has taught us. We must acknowledge the people we love every day. We must not fall victim to the belief that saying those words more often will somehow diminish their meaning. And we need to start right now. So, Clinton, I love your mind and your outlandish and sometimes twisted sense of humor. I love your quick wit and your fascination with words. You are a Renaissance man, continually fighting for the integrity of art amidst the onslaught of the pedestrian and asinine. David, I love your laugh and your tenacity. I love how you run full steam ahead at anything and everything you care about. I admire your devotion to family in all the forms that it comes to you. You are a summer thunderstorm, loud in your face, a little scary at first, before bringing a downpour of laughter and tears, finally giving way to a rainbow. Both of you are family to me. We may not always agree, but I love you. So I need you to know that I got you, no matter what. And I'm going to challenge everyone listening right now. Pick up the phone. Write an email. Make plans to have a drink or dinner. Someone in your life may not know how much they mean to you. Even if you think they know, tell them now. Leave nothing unsaid. Because the same night awaits us all. We love you, Winston. And that's the Weekly Rant.
Thank our guests, Yolanda Jones, Paul Manarit, Mary Gwen Hall, and Lee Gary. Coming up next is Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. Our guest is Alexander Metter, Assistant Commonwealth Attorney at Augusta County, talking about sexual assault and child trafficking. Leslie, I love you so much.
I love you too, babe.
Clinton, I love you so much. And I love you, Charlottesville. And I will do everything I can to protect you. Thank you so much. I love you, Winston. This has been Homegrown. Have a good time.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.